Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham. I'll be joined by Seth Meganson as we're going to take you from the Elite Eight to the Final Four in our 2020 NCAA Tournament Coronavirus Edition. For those who are joining us for the first time on this podcast as we break down our field, what we did was we used the tournament bracket put together by Seth Meganson, who's getting ready to join me right here. Seth, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, thanks for joining us here. So I'm explaining for people who maybe are just tuning in for the first time. We've been doing these podcasts now for the past couple of weeks, and we used Seth's his final bracketology bracket, and we decided to use that field, start playing the games off one by one, basically, round by round. And we've gotten from 68, I guess, then to 64, to 32, to 16, and now we're to 8. And I'll go through what the matchups are, and then we'll Seth and I will just break them down. That's what we've been doing for these past couple of weeks. In the Midwest, we've got the number one seed Kansas, number two seed Creighton for a spot in the Final Four. In the South, it's the number two seed FSU and the number eight seed LSU. That'd be a pretty good football game, too. In the West, number one seed Gonzaga, number three seed Villanova. And then in the East, the number one seed Dayton and the number six seed UVA. The way this tournament was bracketed, the winners in the Midwest and East would play in the national semifinals, and the South and the West would play next week in Atlanta. So, Seth, if you're already... Let's go into the Midwest first. The number one overall seed, Kansas, and the number two seed in the Midwest region, Creighton. Break this one down.
Yeah, so this would be a very fun matchup. Definitely a high-scoring game. I would think that this one would resemble a lot of maybe Kansas-Davidson back in the day. A lot of scoring options for Creighton. A lot of people, I feel like, don't really know as much about Creighton as they probably should. They were the Big East regular season champions, and how we played this out, we just went ahead and rewarded them the Big East tournament title. So this is no slouch team. They're a two seed for a reason. We had them beating Michigan State, which a lot of people probably would have been very high on Michigan State going into this tournament. And some of the reasons why we have Creighton getting this far as we did is because they have scoring options all over the floor. One of their best scorers was supposed to be returning. Well, it was a maybe by tournament time. We're going to pretend like he was. So they can definitely score. There's nothing that Kansas, I feel like, could do defensively that could really slow them down from scoring. It's just, however, on the other side of the ball, I don't know if there's anything Creighton can do to slow Kansas down. I think Dotson and Azubuike would have big games again. I've been saying that for every game, but, I mean, they had pretty much big games the whole entire season. Creighton's, I think, their keys to victory in this game would be, like, get Azubuike in foul trouble and then just, you know, just hope that you can outscore them and, like, they have just, you know, a slight – off night on offense. I just think all around Kansas is the better basketball team. They're the number one overall seed for a reason. They're more well-rounded, like I said, and I just feel like as fun as this game would be, I'd love to take Creighton here, but I think Kansas would win, but I think it would be a close game, maybe decided by like 2 or 3 points, maybe in the 80s, and I would look for Azubuike to probably have another big game in this one because I don't know if Creighton has anybody who could really match up with his size down low. I feel like so far in this tournament, I would probably say Azubuike might be the player of the tournament because I feel like I've been saying every round for Kansas that I don't know if the team they're playing has any way of stopping him. And same goes here with Creighton. It would be a fun game. I wish we could see it. But, yeah, I'm going to go with Kansas as our first team to punch a ticket to the Final Four.
Yeah, I've got to agree. Azubuike at 7 feet tall, he's got an NBA body, and Creighton, they're so good offensively, but a reason they're so good offensively is they go small. Christian Bishop starts at center. He's 6'7". Denzel Mahoney is the backup at center, and he's 6'5". They do give some minutes to 6'11" senior Kelvin Jones, but he doesn't get a lot of minutes, 8 to 10 minutes a game. And so the bulk of the time, they're forced to, you know, they're going to be forced to have somebody who's given up 5 inches and a lot of strength. Azubuike, 7'2", 270. That's Shaq-like. Shaq, the LSU version Shaq, the early pro version Shaq, not the Shaq that became the really big guy later on. But, you know, you've got basically a big guard guarding a big NBA center type there. That's tough. And if you if you try to change it up, you go with Jones, give him more minutes to try to counter defensively, then you're taking away the strength of your offense. Now, that Creighton team, yeah, you're right, they can score. This is a team that's number three in the country in adjusted offensive efficiency, according to KenPom.com. But defensively challenged, I mean, that's what happens when you sort of sacrifice the size in the post for, you know, more scoring options out there on the floor. But, yeah, I agree. Kansas gets the first ticket. They're heading to Atlanta. They will play the winner in the East. We're going to save that one for the end. That's the UVA-Dayton game. So we'll see who they match up with a little later on. Let's head to the South. Number two seed in the South, Florida State. Number four team in the final AP poll. So they could have been, they maybe were the best two seed, who knows. Could have been a one seed in some people's minds, the ACC champions this year. And the number eight seed, LSU. LSU upset a number one seed earlier. They beat Baylor earlier in our bracket here. So FSU, LSU. Take us into this one, Seth.
Yeah, so why I have LSU getting this far is much like Creighton. I like the fact that they can score. They have so many guys on the court who can score. You can shut down one or two guys, but they have two or three other guys who can score. So that's how LSU has kind of made this run. We had them upset Baylor in the second round. Then they beat Wisconsin, two really defensive-minded teams who, you know, kind of slow down the pace and everything like that. But now they're going up against Florida State, and I feel like this is a bad matchup for LSU if it came down to it. I think Florida State just has so many options, so many things they can throw at them defensively and offensively that, you know, LSU might be able to score some points, but Florida State's going to always be fresh. They're not going to, you know, they're not going to tire Florida State out. There's no way. Florida State is kind of is the king of that this season of just, you know, switching guys in and out and, like, getting up the floor. So, yeah, LSU, though, I'll say that this wouldn't be, I don't think, you know, out of the question that LSU can make a surprising Final Four trip here. It's just, I just feel like out of all the matchups that LSU has had to this point, this is going to be their hardest test. I know that's kind of crazy to think with Baylor being a one seed, but I just felt like the way Baylor played, it kind of matched up well for LSU. Whereas with Florida State, I don't believe that at all. I believe that Florida State's got the advantage at just about everywhere. I do think LSU is probably the better pure scoring team. But Florida State, though, it's just they can do so many different things, and they're just such a well-rounded basketball team. I really like this Florida State team. Leonard Hamilton, you know the team will be hungry for him because, you know, he's never made it to a Final Four, so you know the team would love to get him to his first Final Four. And I feel like people just count Florida State out all the time in the past couple years, and they just always exceed expectations, whether that just be, you know, getting into the Sweet 16, getting the Elite Eight. So I think this is the perfect year for everything to come together for them and them to make an Elite Eight trip. Make a Final Four trip. Sorry, they're already in the Elite Eight. But no, I just think that, like I said, I think Florida State, we've talked about it over and over again. They can just play so many guys, and they have so many guys that can, like, play good, solid defense. And, like, I feel like that they could be able to shut down what LSU would like to do. I do think that the game would probably be pretty close. I could see this game being like a Florida State jump out type deal and LSU come back and make it interesting in the end. But I'm going to go with Florida State to get Hamilton's first ticket to the Final Four here.
The Florida State fans listening in are crying in their beer right now. I feel for them. I mean, I think the same thing. I think this was the year that Florida State was going to go to the Final Four. You know, seeing that team in person this year in Charlottesville, Virginia won that game in Charlottesville, and those two teams played even games down in Tallahassee. Virginia lost by four in Charlottesville. Florida State lost by five. Those games were nip and tuck games all the way through. But yeah, that FSU team, man, Hamilton always has teams like this where he just has so many guys. There's not necessarily a star player on the team, but they have a lot of guys with a lot of talent out there. And he uses them. You know, a lot of guys won't go past seven or eight deep, and Hamilton will go 11 or 12 deep if he needs to. And he certainly does. And this year he had 11 guys averaging double digits in minutes. You know, LSU is one of the two teams in our Elite Eight that is unbalanced, let's say, in terms of the efficiency on one side of the floor and lack of efficiency on the other. LSU, fourth in the country in KenPom.com's adjusted offensive efficiency rankings, 179th defensively. Virginia will be the other team. We'll talk about them in a minute in that respect, but they're in the low 200s in offense, and then number one in defense, number one by a good bit in defense. So It can be a challenge. They would score in this game, but FSU, though, when need be, can get the stops. And so we'll put FSU into the Final Four, and the South champion will play the West champion. So let's go there next. And this is a fun one. We've got two teams, one in Gonzaga that has yet to win a national championship. And until Villanova win their first of two out of 3 years a few years ago, Jay Wright would have been like Mark Few is now. Mark Few is now the coach without a championship who is, I guess you can call him the best coach without a national championship. Jay Wright used to be that guy. So what a fun matchup here. Gonzaga-Villanova. Seth, tell us what happens.
Yeah, so I think this game would be very interesting to see. I think both teams, obviously we just talked about kind of the success that they've had over the last couple of, for Gonzaga, it's been, the last 20 years of Villanova, the better part of a decade, or even more than a decade, to be honest with you. But yeah, we said Villanova, a couple years back, finally got over that hump, and Gonzaga is still looking to do it. They got to the finals that one year, but came up short. But yeah, so I definitely think that this game would be very interesting. I think that Villanova might have some trouble with Gonzaga's size here, but also I think that Gonzaga would have trouble with Villanova's guard play. So it's definitely a tale of like what each of the other ones are trying to do. And I like what Villanova brings to the table, though. I feel like that what they can do to Gonzaga, they can maybe get Gonzaga out of their rhythm. I feel like they're just, again, I keep using this term, I feel like they're just the more well-rounded basketball team here. I know that's kind of crazy to think about with Gonzaga, but I say the Gonzaga's key to victory here, I think, would be just getting the ball down low and trying to, insert their will on Villanova in the post. But I just feel like Villanova over the past couple years, no matter who the players are, have shown, they can take on any type of team, can play any type of style, and they can adjust and they can adapt. And I just believe in what Jay Wright has going on there. I mean, he's won two national championships in the past 4 years. There's nothing that Gonzaga can throw at Jay Wright that's going to surprise him. So, yeah, I think that this would be a very, very entertaining game. Maybe, I would say, maybe besides Kansas-Creighton, those two would be the two games I think I'd be the most looking forward to for this Elite Eight round. I would go Villanova here. I feel like this one could, though, be a 50-50 game. Like, honestly, if you told me, you think Gonzaga would just be too much for Villanova, just has too many other ways of scoring, like that. Because Villanova, they probably will play rather small. They're not going to be, they're not going to be able to match Gonzaga up in size. But I say, so I honestly, it's like a 50-50 split. But in my heart, I just think Villanova would win this game if these two teams played each other. I just feel like the guard play for Villanova would come through because I just think it's vastly better than Gonzaga's guard play, even though I do think Gonzaga's better down low than Villanova. But yeah, I'll go with Villanova in the Final Four.
You know what? I agree with you here. Gonzaga would have the advantage in the post in terms of size, no question. Philip Petrusev and Killian Tuttle, 6'11", 6'10". But what's interesting about that is, they wouldn't have the advantage you'd think. I mean, Nova plays small, but their bigs are still Sadiq Bey, 6'8", at power forward. Jeremiah Robinson-Earl, 6'9", at center. Mm-hmm. And what I like about those guys is they can take you out on the perimeter. They're not traditional bigs. They're the new style bigs. They're the guys. Robinson-Earl, a 33% shooter from three-point range, and Sadiq Bey is a 45% shooter on a high volume of shots. He attempts about six threes a game. And shoots 45%. So, so as much as Gonzaga would be interested in punching that ball inside and trying to take advantage of what would be a slight size advantage, the Villanova bigs, their goal and Jay Wright's goal would be to, hey, we're going to take those guys out on the perimeter, get them away from the basket, and see if we can, create either, jump shots from three or, dribble drive around them, get them in foul trouble. So, and I think that would end up being what would happen here. Fun. This might be the game of the weekend, in the Elite Eight. Mm-hmm. These two teams playing here, but we'll punch Villanova through. So Villanova will match up with the South champ FSU in Atlanta, a 2 seed in FSU, a 3 seed in Nova, and we have just one matchup left. And I say that bit of sadness, I guess I can say. Because it'd be Virginia Dayton, and I'll start this one as we've been doing when Virginia plays. I'll start with my I always do a what UVA basketball fans would have wanted to know about, in this case, Dayton. These two teams actually played last year, which is interesting to think about. Dayton, when Virginia played them, it was in the first round of the Battle for Atlantis. And Anthony Grant, the coach at Dayton, was just starting his second year at Dayton after a run at Alabama that was sort of middling, just one NCAA tournament appearance in 6 years. He was the former coach at VCU, actually kind of left. He left the team at VCU after 3 years there that then Shaka Smart took to a Final Four. Grant kind of built that program up and then left it and then you know, didn't have success, great success. He had 20-plus win seasons at Alabama, but just didn't win it. Only one NCAA tournament, lost the one game he played in there in the NCAA tournament. So last year, you're still wondering, okay, so this Grant guy, what's he going to do at Dayton? And I remember that game. That was the toughest game Virginia played in November of last year, a 66-59 win for Virginia. And there was a guy named Obi Toppin that you've hear a lot about now. He didn't even start that game for Dayton. He was a freshman. He came off the bench for 26 minutes, scored 13 points, but shows just how much he's grown in the last year, that he's now a certain lottery pick coming out in the 2020 draft. And last year, he wasn't even starting for them until second half of the season. So, you know, these two teams know each other. They've game planned for each other. I mean, at least Virginia's game plan. The Dayton group that played that game is just back in a year older. Virginia, of course, with so many changes. Getting to know Dayton a little bit, the backcourt pair of they play traditional, two guards, two forwards, and a center. Though Toppin is the center at 6'9", and he's not a back to the basket guy. They really play small ball, if it makes sense to say. They're 2 6'1" guards, Rodney Chapman and Jalen Crutcher. Crutcher had a big game in the loss last year in the Battle for Atlantis. He averages 15.1 points and not a 4.9 assists a game. She's 42% from three, so those are good numbers. Their sixth man scores 10.1 points a game. That's Ibby Watson. And so they've got punch and firepower back in the backcourt. Up front, they go small, 6'5", Trey Landers, 10.5 points, 6.9 rebounds a game. And 6'7", Ryan Mikesell, 8.5 points and 4.7 rebounds a game. And then Toppin at 5, they do have a backup center, 6'11", Jordy Shaminga. He only gets about 9 minutes a game, though. So, by and large, in this kind of a matchup, I don't think you'd see Toppin off the floor unless he had foul trouble. The thing, and they're very good offensively, second in the nation adjusted offensive efficiency. That's the fun one in this one. You got the second best offense in the country and the first best defense in the country in Virginia. The fun matchups that we would have seen in this game, Mamani Diakite and Obi Toppin, 2 6'9" guys. I'm seeing actually, and it's interesting to say this, I did a piece on Diakite the other day. We were able to get on a conference call with him set up by UVA Athletics and talk with Mamani. And as I was researching that piece, he's actually showing up on the late first round of some mock draft boards. Traditionally, very much, right now, consensus is second round pick, but you're starting to see him get some first round love. And so him against Toppin, it would have been a chance for Diakite. If he has a good, effort against Toppin, it would have been a chance for him to really solidify like a late first round spot. And I think he would have matched up well. I don't think you would have seen any through the legs dunks out of Obi Toppin in this one against Virginia's defense, to say the least. The one thing that would have been an issue for Virginia, Jay Huff would start the game. Tony Bennett, earlier in the season when Virginia would play teams that go small, the four guard teams, you would see Jay Huff not even start those games, kind of come off the bench. He's been starting those games lately. But, the issue would be, he'd either be going against Mike Sell or Landers at 4, 6'7", or 6'5". If Jay, what Tony would do is he'd give him the leeway. Hey, if you can get out there and you can play defense on those guys, great. If not, we'll go small. We'll put Braxton Key at 4 and we'll use three guards around that, and Key's a guard too, so effectively going four guard to match up. So Huff he'd have been out there for the first 5, 7, 8 minutes, but if he wasn't an option defensively, then you'd see less of him as the game went on. And of course, what that means is you take a guy who's 7'1", who shoots 57% from the field, 36% from three, you get him out of the lineup. That could be an issue there. Key at 6'8", he would have been an interesting matchup on Landers, the best of the forwards for Dayton. And I like Kihei Clark on Crutcher one-on-one. They got to guard each other last year, so they know
a little bit from each from last year's experience with each other. And Clark does so well against other point guards defensively. So I've broken it down there in terms of that's your game preview. Seth, give us your thoughts on how this one will play out.
Yeah, you know, last UVA game, we talked about Clark, you know, going up against Kentucky's guards and how he's very good about getting, like, when he plays much bigger guards, about getting underneath them and, like, really frustrating them. Well, Dayton's, I mean, I think their smallest guard that they play is, like, 6'1", 6'2". So this could be another game for Clark where he could, you know, he could get under their guard skins, whoever he's going to be on. I would assume it'd be Crutcher. I agree with that. And I think he could get under his skin and really, like, frustrate him here. And I think that's a big key in this game because, like, I mentioned Davidson earlier in this when I was talking about the Kansas-Creighton games and how that could be a lot like Kansas-Dayton. You know, everyone remembers that Davidson team because of Steph Curry. And whereas everyone's going to remember this Dayton team because of Toppin, but I cannot remember the name of the player for Davidson. It was their point guard. He was a really solid point guard, and that was kind of where, like, everything came through, like, the offense ran through, and, you know, he was kind of, like, what opened it up for Curry and everything like that. And I feel like Crutcher does that a lot for Toppin at Dayton. So I think that that's a big matchup that Clark would be able to get under him and maybe be able to frustrate him and maybe, you know, lessen, like, Toppin's effect, because I believe in the times that I've watched Dayton that Crutcher is kind of the unsung hero of that team. Now, obviously, I love Toppin. I think he deservedly won the player of the year. And Grant has just what he's done at Dayton has been great. We talked about earlier about his time at Alabama. I felt like he kind of got the shaft at Alabama, that he shouldn't have been gone as quick as they did. I felt like they kind of jumped all over getting rid of him as fast as they could. So, you know, this is going to be a well-balanced, well-coached team. If UVA fans haven't watched Dayton play before, they would be very impressed with Toppin. Probably wish that he was in Charlottesville. That's just, he's unbelievable talent. But yeah, I really like Clark having another big game, or at least big game defensively, like he did in the Sweet 16. I just think that that would be such a huge thing. And then Hoff, you know, you're talking about him. I could see Hoff having a game much like the Duke game, you know, getting his blocks, being kind of a nuisance down low in the game like this. I was actually, before you even said it, going to say that Hoff might be like this, like the underdog or the wild card kind of option in this game that could help UVA get through. Much like in the Kentucky game, I like the matchups for UVA here. I really do. I think Dayton, you know, has some different problems that they can give UVA, and I think they're a better team than Kentucky, but I still like the matchups that UVA can get in this one. So, yeah, to me, I think it would be very, very telling to see Clark see how he plays defensively, and then with Diakite, you know, seeing how he does on top. And Diakite, you know, you're talking about his draft stock going up. I've been – the last couple of games I've watched him, I've just been, like – I've been super impressed with, like, how well he's gotten at, like, taking, like, people out on the perimeter and, like, making things happen. I mean, he kind of started showing that in last year's NCAA tournament, but I feel like at the end of this season, he kind of had it down, like, to a perfect science. And, yeah, so I think this could be a big game for him to show what he can do defensively on Toppin, and also maybe try to show Toppin some things that maybe Toppin didn't think Diakite could do. But yeah, I think that the key to this game would be the guard play, and I think that UVA could maybe get under Dayton's guard skins, and that could maybe affect Toppin getting the ball and you know, just maybe taking Dayton out of the rhythm. Because let's face it, Dayton's probably – I might be wrong on this, but Dayton's probably not played a team that plays defense quite like UVA this year. And I know we said that they played each other last year, so they're somewhat familiar with them, but that was back in November of 2018. Like, that's, you know, that's ages ago in basketball terms. I do think it would be close. I think it would come down to the wire, just like a lot of these Elite Eight games. But I really – I think Virginia would pull this game out if these two teams matched up with each other.
And so what this says is that the Kool-Aid that I sent over to Seth before all this stuff happened, he's been drinking it. And I have to give Seth credit for that. Now, he's you know, I have to – and for our listeners out there, one of the ground rules, Seth gets to pick all the other games. And he's, you know, he made a great point. He made a great points there in his assessment here. But this for readership standpoint, I've got to have UVA get to the Final Four. So but yeah, the Kool-Aid's working. I'm glad that I was afraid of the mix there, Seth. I was afraid I was putting too much in there, and that you might start actually bleeding orange and blue. But no, this one would be fun. I do think that there, you know, what the scenario that Seth laid out there. I mean, yeah, if you can get
to the guards, that can make it a little more difficult. And this, you know, Virginia, we've said this a lot, Seth, about both the Virginia games, and we had Liberty getting to the Sweet 16. The teams who play the slower pace always set the pace. You know, the fact that teams who want to who play tempo just end up having to play their games. I mean, it's weird how that is, but that it's just a fact of life. You never see this. You never see a Virginia team, coached by Tony Bennett, get out of its game. If you beat them, you've got to beat them at their game. And you know, Dayton, yes, they have that distant memory of having played Virginia, you know, in a game a year and a half ago. But it's just different. And you know, you'd only have the weekend to prepare for this too. And that's another part of the equation here. You know, when you play, you know, this would have been a Friday Sunday game. You know, you win your game Friday night, and then you've got just a short amount of time to get ready. It's you know, it's tough to get ready for Virginia in a day with a walkthrough with that, you know, with that kind of game plan. If this was the Sweet 16 game, you've got 4 days to get ready. You can practice, you can run some sets, you can get some sets together that can work. But yeah, I think that would be a disadvantage for Dayton in this one too. So yeah, let's have Virginia advance, and they will play Kansas in the next round, in the Final Four. And then again, we've got FSU and Villanova. So for a down year for the ACC, we got two in the Final Four, Seth. Yeah. Virginia in our rendering was going to go to the Final Four. FSU, I agree with you on that, Seth. And I think FSU was going to be a Final Four team this year. I see Kansas going all the way through. And I like that Villanova team too. This is a pretty hearty Final Four we got here.
Yeah, I was gonna say I didn't want to go too crazy with the Final Four this time, like, you know, because I mean, I know we've had years where 11 seeds get to the Final Four, but most of the time you get, you know, a couple ones, and then a couple twos, a three, maybe sometimes a four or five. So yeah, I think, you know, one, a two, a three, and then, you know, UVA to six, and yeah, you might have been putting my feet to the fire, you know, having to put UVA through. And don't get me wrong, I do think that, you know, if this tournament would have happened, I think UVA would have had a chance to make a run in this thing. I'm more than happy to put UVA in the Final Four. I mean, hey, you don't get to talk about UVA Kansas very much. I mean, well, I don't even know when the last time that happened was, or if ever. Yeah, but yeah, I was gonna say, so that would be fun to break down. So yeah, here we are.
You know, and before the tournament, before the world changed on us a couple of weeks ago, you know, Virginia had won 11 of its last 12, eight in a row. They and included in that stretch were wins over Florida State, Duke, and Louisville. They, you know, this isn't just putting the homers in there. They were playing. They were one of the hottest teams. You know, Kansas was, FSU was, Villanova was hot down the stretch. I mean, so these are hot teams, You know, I'm going to use the Ric Flair saying from back in the day: to be the man, you got to beat the man. The man is still playing right now. The defending champs are still in the field. And you know, the only one I would say that was of the four matchups, we had Virginia beating Texas Tech in the first round, Maryland second round. The third round was? I'm trying to think who that was. Now we had. Our third round matchup would have been, let's see, they were the sixth seed. They'd have been playing a two seed. Gosh, now why am I forgetting this, Seth? Kentucky. Yep. And then this one here against Dayton. Honestly, I think the one that we had to really do some mental gymnastics to get to was the Maryland game. And what I rested mine on was Maryland going short, Mark Turgeon only using six guys down the stretch, really shortening his bench, and how tough that would be for his team to play against, you know, Virginia with the rugged style of play that they play. But let's see. We've got Kansas and UVA. We've got FSU and Villanova. And Seth and I will get back together. Seth, I'll email you, and we'll figure out what day next week we can get this Final Four and championship wrapped up. Hey, this has been fun, man. It feels like we're putting the same mental energy to breaking down fantasy games as we would have been putting towards actually talking about real games. So yeah. it feels like actual work for the both of us.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say that. I mean, I've enjoyed doing it. I mean, it's the next best thing to the actual tournament, I'm sure. And yeah, we were talking about how it was hard for us to kind of, you know, put UVA over Maryland. Just think about how hard it's going to be when we do the Final Four for have UVA over Kansas. That's really going to be really going to be a tough sell, but we'll do it. We will make it happen.
I'll explain the ground rules now. You've got days to think about this. All I wanted was to get Virginia to the Final Four. Now the bets are off. I get to write about. And so if you decide after doing your game study, if you decide Virginia beats Kansas, that's great. If not, I do have an edit button, but no, I won't use it. So at this point, during the Final Four, I get to write about Virginia basketball. In fact, all week this week, I'll be doing some kind of reminiscing from last year's Final Four, last year's NCAA tournament run, leading up to our coverage of our mythical Final Four. So, so look for that all week on AFP. But then, Seth. So you could take the shackles off. Keep drinking the Kool-Aid, don't you? But you could take the shackles off a bit and go with your instinct when we break these games down next week. But yeah, we'll be getting back together and doing that. And otherwise, we're wrapping up here. It's 1:30 Eastern time in Virginia. And Seth, I'm not sure if you're near a window right now, but I'm looking outside. It looks like it's we have weather. It's supposed to be in the 80s here today. So we need to get out and enjoy this Sunday.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm actually sitting outside on my porch while I was doing this.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to be outside myself. Seth, thank you for your time, and we'll talk to you again coming up in the next few days.
All right. Thanks for having me, Chris.
And for our listeners out there, yes, again, thank you for your time, and thank you for playing along with us here in our NCAA Tournament Coronavirus Edition. We'll talk to you again soon.